You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's lesson.
God, I can. What's good about Philippians, not just 4 and 13, but the entire epistle, epistle simply meaning letter, is that it goes down as one of Paul's, who we know Paul to be one of the greatest apostles to ever live. It is considered a prison epistle or a letter that Paul penned while in jail. Now, don't get it twisted. Paul was not in jail for being a criminal. But Paul was in jail because of his faithfulness to Christ, because of his faithfulness to God's purpose for his life. Notice, if you will, in Philippians 1, this is important and we need to see it. In Philippians 1 and 13, notice how Paul talks about his imprisonment or his being incarcerated, because it's important this morning. Philippians 1, and notice verse 13. Paul is talking about it and he says, Philippians 1, 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest. This is what I want you to see that had become evident to everybody. What had become clear to everybody. Notice what he says in the latter part of 13. That my chains or my imprisonment are in Christ. They are in Christ. I talked last week and mentioned an important word that I'm going to repeat this morning. Notice that Paul being in prison, he was going through something. Come on, church. He was going through a challenging time. Like some of us, we're going through some things on this morning. We're facing some challenges this morning. But notice, in reference to what Paul was going through, this is what needs to stick out this morning, is that he had the right perspective. He had the right point of view. See, it's important when you're going through something that you don't just sit up and whine and complain about what you're going through, but it's important that we have the right perspective. In other words, I don't want to just be going through something, yes, that's challenging, but I'm looking at it wrong. I'm seeing it through my own eyes, and I'm not taking the time to see it through God's perspective. And whatever we go through as Christians, as true believers, we need to always be able to step back, take a moment, and see it through the eyes of God. In other words, you need to always have the right perspective. Don't just look at it on top surface, but look at it through the eyes of God. I'm preaching to somebody. In other words, when you look at it, let God talk to you about it. When you think about all that you're going through, don't let it stop with just you. We have to understand that there are times that we go through and we're going through for the sake of somebody else. Oh, I wish I would have got more. Amen. Some of you, what you're going through this morning, it's not all about you, but you're going through to be able to help somebody else, to be a strength to somebody else. You are going through what you're going through because God is going to use your story to bless somebody else. How many have went through something in time past? You in a better place now, and God uses you to talk about where he brought you from, what he brought you through. He uses you to talk about it all the time. He uses you to share your story with somebody that they may know it ain't a time to give up, but it's a time to press on. How many of us would be where we are today if we did not have the right perspective, hear me, church, about what we went through yesterday? Come on. We have the right perspective about our past. Come on. I have the right perspective about my past. I know who brought me from where I came from. I know who gets the glory. I know who gets the honor. I know who I am to give the praise to. And see, some of us are in church going through things, and sadly, as a child of God, you don't have the right perspective. You don't have a biblical, a godly perspective about what you're going through. But see, Paul had it. Again, he had a godly perspective. He saw what he was going through as being bigger than just him. And he saw God's purpose and why God had him where he had him. See, you got to see purpose in every single aspect of your life. Come on, you got to see purpose in that. Come on, somebody. The only thing some of us see purpose in is what goes our way. And you feel like if something don't go your way, then what's the use? What's the purpose in it? But see, so many times, God himself will not allow things to go the way he know we want it to go. Oh, yeah, I'm preaching hard to somebody. And so he checks out our perspective. It didn't go the way you wanted to go. When you come in his house, when you enter into his gate with thanksgiving, when you enter into his court with praise, or will you set up in church acting as if God has not been good to you? What is your perspective? What is your point of view about what you are going through? And as you mature in God, we need to get to a place that no matter how challenging something is, we have the right perspective. And we won't allow nobody to change our point of view. Suffering is a part of being a Christian. Persecution is a part of living right. You can't live for God and not upset demons. You can't live for God and not upset people who are filled with demons. Some of us wonder why people got a problem with us. They're two different spirits that war against each other. Am I right about that? You can try all you want to treat everybody right. Somebody gonna go out of their way to treat you wrong. But you need the right what? Perspective. Pastor, they still talking about me. Why are you crying about that? They talked about Jesus. They talked about his disciples. They talk about your pastor. But when you have the right perspective, let them talk. Let them talk. I'd rather their talk be that I'm blessed than their talk be that I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. Let them talk. Oh, that's the word right there. Let them talk. If you going to be blessed, you got to let them talk. Let them run their mouth. Let them look. Look, but don't touch. Look, but don't get crazy. Come on, somebody. Some of you got your head down. That's your problem. You want everybody to like you. People who everybody tend to like are two-faced people. They're backbiters. They say one thing over here so folks will like them. They run over there and say the opposite of what they said. But when you stand for something, people have a problem with you. There are folks in our family didn't have a problem with us going to the club. They didn't have a problem with us being on dope. They didn't have a problem with us being an alcoholic. They didn't have a problem with us being a fool. But when we got saved, they have the nerve. Come on, I'm preaching. They have the audacity to have a problem because we in church. Look at three people and tell them, let them talk, let them talk, let them talk. Your talk ain't getting me out of church. Your talk ain't making me walk away from my purpose. Your talk ain't making me not drive what God want me to drive. Your talk ain't going to hinder me from having the house and living good. Oh, no. Keep talking. Keep talking. Look at somebody that ain't clapping and ain't smiling. Just tell them, keep talking. Keep talking. Because they the one talking. They the one doing all that talk. It's hard for them to clap right now. They're surrounded around people they always talking about. Somebody shout, you got to have the right perspective. Is the word right? Is the word right? And some of the ones who will put you down again will be family. Family. Folk who smile when you come in, but the smile is fake. They hate that you came. But see, don't miss it as we move forward. Paul had the right perspective. And some of you sitting there looking all cool like, yeah, Pastor, yeah, I get what you say. No, you don't, because you right now have the wrong perspective about what it is that you're going through. Our point of view matters. I mean, no, that's a good word. How you see things matter. When you look at that, what do you see? What comes to mind? Man, if you don't have the right perspective, you'll give up in moments of crisis when the moment of crisis came to elevate you. It came to give you what you asked God to give you. Everything's not coming easy. Come on. You know what came to my mind then? Easy peasy. Everything is not going to be a cakewalk. Woo! Some blessings come as a result of a great challenge. As a result of going through a great battle. A war, a fight. Listen, if you're taking notes, I want you to know four things about Paul that also will be four things that we can say about Isaiah, because he had the right perspective. He was locked down. Number one, but he was not pessimistic. Let me talk to my young people. Young people, do not be pessimistic. You have a lot going for you. One thing you definitely have going is your youth, your energy. Come on. I never seen so many pessimistic, tired, and lazy young people in my life. These are the days, young people, when you can go, and I mean go strong. You can go hard. But not if you're pessimistic. And sadly, we live in a culture where many desire not just for young people to be pessimistic, but they certainly desire for young blacks to be pessimistic, to feel like the world is against you. Everybody's trying to hold you down or hold you back. The devil is a lie. The color of your skin cannot hinder you if you have the right perspective, which is I'm young, I'm black, but with God I can. Get out of all of this that's trendy, that's popular right now. See, I gotta say it because your mama won't tell you. Your daddy's scared of you. But I'm not. You have a lot going for you. Oh, y'all, oh, Lord. How many know I'm right about it? What are you so sad about? Get up and get a job. Get up and be productive. Get up and do something with your life. Don't let high school be the best year of your life. Don't allow college to be your prime and the best years you'll ever see. Some of us adults can tell y'all young people about folk who graduated with us 30 plus years ago, and all they talk about is high school. Still wearing their Letterman jacket. Number two, we laughing, but I would not smile. I'm dead serious. My best days are ahead of me. They're not behind me. Whoa, I need to say that again. My best days are still ahead of me. I'm saying that at 53, looking good, full of energy, great passion. I got better strength than some young folk because I'm excited about life, because I get up every day happy, get up saying this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice therein. This is the day he loaded me down with benefit. This is the day he has released new mercy, new compassion. What I got to be sad about? I ain't crying over what was. Too much is happening right now. Number two, come on. Number two, Paul was not poor mouthing. Some of you poor mouth too much. You poor mouth too much. Number three, Paul wasn't depressed. You got to know how to be going through something challenging, but I won't allow it to depress me. Did y'all hear me? All of us got to learn. Some of us have learned that we cannot allow a challenging season to cause us to be depressed until that season changes or until you miss your blessing. You have to learn that I'm not going to allow this to depress me. What's another word for depressed, Pastor? I will not allow this to get me down. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't play with things that come to get you down. Because when you play around with things that come to get you down, once it gets you down, it gets harder to get up again. So when something starts trying to press on you, start fighting right then. Start fighting right. If it's on the job, fight on the job. Start praying. Start meditating on God. Get the word in your mouth and let it come out. Let it come forth. Finally, Paul was not unhappy. He was not an unhappy person. Remember, y'all, in prison, but he wasn't unhappy. He wasn't unhappy. See, what Paul had learned, and he later says it, that he had learned how to be content. Lord, this is where you want me, so be it. Contentment is good. Lord, this is where you want me to be working right now. Everything is not ideal for how I would desire it, but I'm content. I'm good. I'm good. Amen. I'm not about to get out of your will for $2 more an hour. I'm good. Come on. Let me teach this right. Because when you run from demons, you're leaving demons you know to go to a place to where you don't know them demons. And they just luring you to come over there like everything gonna be easy. Well, at least I know these demons. At least I know these bad attitudes. Come on, somebody. How many know people you work with? Now, some of you got your hand up, but people know you. Notice what he says again in Philippians 4 and 13. Notice what Paul said. Paul says again, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. I really want to try to break this text down a little bit. If Paul says, I can do all things, and he stops, he's wrong. Come on. Sometimes where we put a period or where we decide to stop makes all the difference. A period at the end of things now means that Paul does not have the right perspective. Now what it says about him is that he thinks more highly, come on, of himself than he should. And see, nobody in here is all sufficient on their own. Everybody in church needs help from somebody else. Oh, break that thing down. And not just God. God designed it that we need each other. I don't need nobody but King Jesus ain't right. Because King Jesus said we needed others. And some of you, you got the wrong perspective because you depend too much on you. You base too much on your own ability or your own intellect. And when you have the wrong perspective, you can't be optimistic. You have no choice but to be pessimistic. Why? Because you're in something challenging, you're going through something, and you're only depending on yourself. You're only looking at what you can do. Remember what I said, if you put a period here, Paul is wrong. And for those of us in church just thinking we all that, you're wrong. You're wrong. I ain't asking nobody for help. You're wrong. We all, oh, y'all too quiet. We all need help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help when God has led you somewhere to seek help, to get help, to receive help, so that you in turn one day will turn around, preach, pastor, and be able to help. Things I used to struggle with, I now help people who struggle in that area. Do you know one form of torture is isolation? Prison uses, I don't forget what they call it, the word done slipped my mind now. Solitary confinement, listen, to punish people. We're not going to allow you to be around anybody but you. And they see it as punishment. See, don't get caught having the wrong perspective. Looking at things wrong. If I'm coming out, then I got to do something. No, that's what got you in trouble in the first place. Is thinking like that. Having that point of view. And you're making things worse. What did Jeremiah teach in Jeremiah 17 and 5? Jeremiah said, this curse is the man. Let's go there. Let's go there. Yeah, I can quote it, but let's go there. Somebody need to see it this morning. Somebody need to see it. Y'all hang in there. See, somebody who got the wrong perspective, God is dealing with you right now. He's dealing with you right now. You think more highly of yourself than you need to. And guess what? Many of us have been right where you at. We ain't being hard on you. We've been right where you at. Where y'all at this morning? Where are some people in here that used to think more highly of yourself than you needed to? Would just do things and then pray. Make moves, make decisions without acknowledging God. You know what you call that? As a child of God, when you make decisions without acknowledging God, you thinking too much of yourself. Amen? Y'all got to hang in there now. Jeremiah 17 and 5. Thus says the Lord. Thus says who? Thus says who? Thus says the pastor. The Lord is saying this. Cursed is the man. Cursed is the woman. Cursed is the boy. Cursed is the girl who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Makes flesh his what? You remember what Paul said? I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens. Now the Lord is saying through Jeremiah that we enter into a curse, or we bring a curse into our lives when we make man our strength. Make sure you include in Jeremiah 17 and 5 that man equates self. Man equates self. Some of y'all need to pay attention. This is more important than what you're doing. Trust me. Pay attention. You under a curse and you're not paying attention. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. Nothing more important than paying attention to pastor when he's preaching and teaching. Nothing should have your attention more than the man of God when he's speaking on God's behalf. Now, I'm just going to teach it right. Unless you're in a place where you can afford not to pay attention. That's what's wrong with some of you. It's a time when it's a time to be grown. Look what he says again. Thus says the Lord. Cursed is the man. Now notice, the curse is coming from the Lord. Because man has made a choice that he doesn't need the Lord. And those to whom God curse, no man can bless. When you're cursed of the Lord, only the Lord can lift what he did. And he can only lift it through your obedience. Come on, church. Cursed is the man who trusts. Notice that plural, continually. This is absolute trust in man, in human, in a limited being. You don't put all your trust in pastor. Pastor is limited. And there's nowhere in the scripture where God has told us to put absolute trust in any man. That's where you don't trust your job fully. Come on. Come on, you appreciate your job. You appreciate your business. Any means where God desires to send increase, appreciate it, but never trust it. Come on, never put all your confidence in it. Never put all your confidence in what's in your check and your saving, your 401 or your other investments. Never do that. Because you're walking slap into a curse. Amen? And so Paul, if he puts the period there, go back to 1 Philippians 4 and 13. If he stops, y'all there back there, Philippians 4 and 13. If Paul said, I can do all things, and he stops there, he's cursed. He's messed up. But notice what he does. He doesn't end there. Come on. See, how we decide to say things matters. See, don't ever say that you can't afford something and stop there. On my own, I can't afford it. But with God, I can have it. On my own, I couldn't live here. But with God, I could live here and own 3 houses down from here. With God. Come on. On my own, I couldn't drive it. But with God, I can drive it and have the title to it. With God. Come on. On my own, I couldn't accomplish it. But with God, I can achieve it. With God, I can reach it. How many know God help us to reach things that our arms are too short? Look at somebody real quick and just say, show he right. Tell somebody, God will help you. Look at one more person, tell him or her, God will help you reach things when your arms are too short. God will help you. God will help you when your money is too short. Come on, I'm preaching good. God will help you. He will not base it on what you have. He will base it on the favor that he's given you. I see right now clearly that people are coming in to what God has for them because they're done just looking at themselves. And it's time to get God in the equation. It's time to talk to God about how to achieve this. It's time to talk to God about leaving here and going there. Preach right, Pastor. Be seated. Many of us have already achieved because of God. We've already reached levels because of God. Can I just break this down before I move further? We are already dressing better because of God. Who in church this morning dressing better? Not just when you come to church. You dressing better everywhere you go. You got your Sunday outfit on lockdown. You got your casual on lockdown. You got your sportswear on lockdown. What am I married for? You got your lingerie on lockdown. You didn't think I was going there, did you? And somebody single believing, you got it stored up. You got it stored up. Am I right about that? Come on, somebody. Y'all like y'all scared. Go back to Philippians 4 and 13. I can do what? All things. Here's the key. Through Christ. Christ, the anointed one. Christ, the Messiah. Christ, the Son of God. Christ, Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Paul's saying, I can do all things through God, through the Most High. Notice what he said. Who strengthens. Someone says all we got to do is allow God to strengthen us and understand what that means. When you know God is strengthening you to do all things or to achieve or to accomplish, there's no time to put yourself down. There's no time to be counting yourself out. Thinking that it's for everybody else and I can't achieve or I can't reach it. No. Notice what he said. I can do all things through Christ who, listen, strengthens me. 3 words that means. He strengthens me. Number one, Christ, in particular, the anointing that he places upon our lives strengthens us. Number one, it equips us. There are some things we can get it done if we let God equip us. And the reason he needs to equip you is because things that he has for you, it's going to take a fight for you to get it. And so you need to be equipped by God so that no matter what you see or what you face or how you feel would not make you turn back. Because you recognize you have been equipped by the best. If God is telling you to go back to school and get a degree, don't you know that if you trust in him and if you're knowing that with God I can, you're about to enter back into the school system, but this time, unlike the last time, you're equipped. Come on. You're equipped to go in and come out with a reward. He's already talking to you about how you need to walk across that stage. And you can see yourself walking. Why? Because you recognize going in. See, remember what I said earlier? The right perspective. You're going in knowing you've been equipped. Ain't nothing like doing ministry knowing that you have been equipped for ministry. And some of what you do Sunday in and Sunday out, weekend through the week and so forth. Listen, you can only do it because you've been equipped to do it. Come on. Number two, it has to do with God enabling him. God enables. See, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened, who equipped, and who enables me. And finally, he empowers. He empowers me. I have been empowered to do what I'm doing. You know how important that is? And you thinking I'm going to quit? And I've been empowered to get the victory? I've been empowered to be successful? I've been empowered to be productive? I've been empowered to stand out? Some of you don't know, you've been equipped, you've been enabled, you've been empowered. Listen, to get the victory. Why? Because God is with you. Go to Numbers. I got to speed up. Go to Numbers. Go to Numbers. As you turn to Numbers 13, somebody just shout, with God I can. See, I knew I was going to have to drill this today because there are folk that come to church. This is not their mentality. Though they're faithful coming to church, this is not their mentality. This word is working on them because they don't have this mentality of I can. And without it, listen, your dreams are just going to be that, just dreams. God makes dreams reality. I'm just looking all around. No, I'm just looking. God makes dreams reality. God causes dreams to become reality. Not this stuff you see in on social media that's fake. God makes it real for his people. Come on, I ain't talking about you standing in front of something, pretending that you somewhere. No, God go make that a reality. No, you're going to Hawaii. No, you're going, you actually going to visit such and such. You actually going to go there and have a good time. Don't y'all slip on traveling. Don't slip on traveling. Come on. And I ain't about to sell out to the world, to the AI system, to the mark of the beast. For my vacation, I got to put on a pair of glasses and do it virtual. I'm not selling out like that. Come on. I'm going to walk on the streets. Come on. I'm going over there and eat some food that I never eat. I'm going to experience some things. No, I ain't putting on no glasses for no 1995. and take them off and they ain't been no wealth. See, the world is selling people this. They're selling to the world. And y'all, it's going to get so creative that man is not going to desire to live in the real world. Only in that which has been created by man to make men feel happy. That ain't for no Christian. That ain't for no, Boy, Lord, let's go. Numbers 13. No. But listen, you got to know with God, you've been equipped, you've been enabled, and you've been empowered. Notice number 13:27. Hang in here today. Don't let me lose you. Now here the men done went out to spy out the land, and then in Numbers 13:27, notice what he says. Then they told him on Moses and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. This is the evidence that the land is flowing with milk and honey. It is a good land. It is a productive land. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land on the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountain. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Now notice it then, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people of mainly the 10 who are bringing back an evil report. He quieted them and said, let us go up at once and take possession. Let us do this now. Let us quit talking and go do it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people. For they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. See, what am I showing you? They only looked at what they could do. This is some of you. They're in the land, but they do not see God with them. I'm teaching good and I'm going to teach it to the Holy Ghost. Say, let it go. They're in the land of promise, but they don't have the right perspective. You can drive through the right neighborhood where you are supposed to live, but you're going around the circle with the wrong perspective. You can be in the right church, but have the wrong perspective. Only seeing what's negative. Never looking at the positive of anything. You can have the wrong perspective in your house. Don't miss what I said. They're in the right place. Being in the right place is not enough if we don't have perspective. They said they are stronger than us, which is a half truth. It's a half truth. Remember, when was that I preached the other day? Nothing but. See, they didn't tell the whole truth. They told a half of a truth. They're stronger than us. Yeah, but they're not stronger than the one who's with you. They're not stronger than the one who sent you. They're not the true owners. The true owner sent you. The one of the earth is and its fullness what? That man don't outright own nothing. God is the true. God is the original owner of everything. Come on, somebody. But when you don't have the right perspective, you let man say no, and then you take what man said. And then you run home crying, or as we used to say, you go home like a dog with your tail stuck between your legs. You ever seen a dog do that? You ever seen a scared dog tuck his, I'm serious, tuck his tail right between his legs? This is what Israel is doing. Do y'all see it? This is what they're doing. Bragging, oh, just like some church folk, bragging on sinners. I'm coming your way. Bragging on what ungodly people are doing and able to do, but never bragging on what God is doing for his people within his house. What God is doing up on this hill is greater than what is going on with sinners, because the wealth of the unjust is laid up for the just. See, whatever a sinner has that's good, biblically, eventually will be turned over to those that do right. Will be turned over to people who have the right perspective. Remember what Jesus said? The Lord gave one man 5 talents, gave another man 2 talents, gave another man 1 talent. The man with 5 had the right perspective, gained 5 more. The man with 2 had the right perspective, gained 2 more. But the one with 1 didn't have the right perspective. He took what his Lord gave him and buried it, like you lazy saint. You're burying your talent. You're burying your gifts. And I'm going to teach it right. And that's the reason you always getting put out of somewhere. That's where you always ain't got what you need, because you got the wrong perspective. And when his Lord came back, he cursed that man for having the wrong perspective. But know what that man was doing? He was probably just looking at, well, I just got 1. He got 5. Don't worry about what he got. Don't worry about what she got. You got to work what you got. You got to do right with what you got. Come on. It's good teaching. You can get mad all you want. People with the wrong perspective always pointing the finger. It's always somebody else's fault. Sitting up here bragging on these sinners. I'm in the clothes. And then they brought back a bad report. Did y'all hear me? Brought back a bad report. Now here also teaches us, 12 men went out to spy. 10 came back with a negative report. Only 2 were ready to go do what God said we could do. Only 2 knew God was with them. See, the majority is not always right. See, don't just go with the majority. The majority can be wrong. And it can be 2 people over here trusting God. And God is going to be with them too. Now, because they had the wrong perspective, they not only talked themselves, Minister Conkin talked about it, they talked themselves out of their blessing. And then they talked the nation out of their blessing. Y'all know I always tell you this. When you go look at things, be careful who you take with you. You don't have to just take somebody with you because you live with them. Because they will be the one looking at you like you done lost your mind. Y'all know you can just take some folks and see certain stuff near the scale. You ain't got to take them. You can just tell them what you believe in for near the scale. Do you know what that costs? How many times have we wanted something till we seen the payment? Then come back lying to people. Did you get it? Oh, I changed my mind. It didn't ride right. Stop lying. That car rolled good. That car rolled like you thought it would ride. That car had everything and more. You had the right perspective until they did this. Turned that paper around. How many of you ever did it? I know I've been guilty. I look at that paper like, y'all got to be crazy. And now you know they got these screens they do. They ain't got paper no more. They'll just tap a screen. It'll come to them and then it'll come to you. And they be moving so quick like it ain't nothing. This is $8.50 a month. That's yours. You know how to be talking fast. It's yours. $8.50 a month. Yeah, y'all go ahead and clean it up. Clean it up for them. Get it ready. We're getting it ready right now. $8.50 a month. That's all it is. See, we laughing because some of us, that's you. That's you. That's you right there. Woo! Number 14. Did I tell y'all about that time I was down praying and I wanted to give a certain amount in Bible study? And I was down praying hard, y'all. Y'all go to number 14. I was down praying hard, digging here, like, Lord, bless me to be able to do this in Bible study. Oh, God, bless me, baby, to give this every Bible study, no matter what's happening, Lord. I want to be able to, oh, you know, I'm just saying that good prayer, Brother Hart, just putting it before the Lord. Oh, God, I'm putting my petition before you. Oh, God, I desire. You said asking it shall be given. Lord, I'm asking you to allow me, bless me to be able to give this. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, I've already did it. That's how it sounded in the room. That's how it sounded in the room when he said, I've already did it. Perspective. I was looking for things to be a certain way before I could give like that. God said, I've already did it. You have to change your perspective. And I started immediately giving that. And this year, I increased it even the more. Number 14, God good. God is good. Number 14, 42. Come on. Then they decided, they changed their mind. We're going to go up. Because God started talking about that judgment that was coming. He started talking about how they was cursed for looking at themselves. They was cursed for having the wrong perspective. Then they decided to go to Moses and say, we'll go up. But now notice it. Then Moses said in Numbers 14, 42, do not go up. Don't do it. Lest you, or least you, be defeated by your enemies. We talking about with God, I what? With God, I what? Notice what he said. For the Lord is not among you. He heard what you were saying, and he departed from you. He heard how you was talking, and he left. Pastor, God won't, he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. No, but he also said if we forsake him, he'll forsake us. They forsook God and only looked at what they could do. And then they changed their mind. But see, listen to me what I'm teaching. It's always best to go, no matter what you have or don't have, when you know God is with you, than to get all your ducks in a row. Then decide to go in your own strength, because you're defeated in your own strength, but you're victorious. Tell you, maybe it's always best to move when God is with you. Listen, what happened? They went up and got defeated. Let's close it back in Philippians 4. They went up and got defeated. Do you hear me? They were defeated. But see, when you have the right perspective, Paul says it again, Philippians 4 and 13. Look, check it out. Yeah, we changing our perspective. Some of us changing our perspective. Perhaps I'm changing my point of view. I'm seeing this a whole different way now. Yeah, I'm hearing from God. Look at Philippians 4 and 13. Notice what he says. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Who what? Strengthens me. And the reason Paul is allowing God to strengthen him, listen, if you're taking note, so that through what he does, God will be glorified. God will get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. So our talk, excuse me, is different from that of a sinner. Sinners talking about what they did and how they got this and how great they are. Whatever we do, whatever we accomplish, whatever we possess, we talking about how great God is. Come on, give him a praise if that's you. Come on, give him a big hand of praise. Well, it's just a car, but it's a car God gave me. It's a car God. Well, it's just a job, but it's a job God put me on. See, our perspective is to always give God all the glory, all the honor, and all of the what? Praise. Tell your neighbor, everything, everything God allows you to do. Tell your neighbor, give him the praise. Tell him, give him the glory. Tell, look at somebody and say, small and great. Whatever God permits you to do, to have, to achieve, to accomplish, say, give him all the glory. Give him around your family. Give him the glory. Let them know God strengthened me. God empowered me. I am who I am because of God. God helped me to do that. God helped us to accomplish that. God helped us to go there. God brought us back safely. Everything. This is a holiness church. This is a sanctified church. Everything we do at this church, we give God glory. Remember what I talked about earlier, wanting to give $100 on Bible study? Bless today. Bless today to put $10,000 on the altar. Bless today to put $10,000 on the altar. It may not mean nothing to you, but I got to give him all the glory. I got to give him all the honor and all of the praise. Pastor, I want to be able to do that. Give him the glory, honor, and praise for putting 10 on there today. Give him the glory, honor, and praise for being able to put a 20 on here today. Whatever he affords you to do. Your children doing well? Give him all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Don't brag about what a wonderful parent you are. You missed it in some way, but give him the glory. I'm preaching hard up in here. Go to two or three people and tell them, give God all the glory. Come on, musician. Go to somebody else like you're happy, you mean it, and tell that person whatever he lets you achieve, give him all the glory. Y'all know he's setting us up today. He's setting us up because we're getting ready to achieve. He's setting us up because we're getting ready to accomplish. He's setting us up because we're getting ready to possess. He's setting us up because something great is getting ready to happen. I don't know about you, but on 80 Hidden Lakes Drive, something good is getting ready to happen. He's setting me up. He's letting me know. Give me all the glory. Give me all the honor. Give me all the praise. Let your friends know I did it. Let the pastors know I did it. Let your co-workers know I did it. Let everybody know. If it had not been. Oh, I'm preaching hard up in here. We close it right here. Remember what Paul said? I can do what? All things. I can do what? All things. I can do what? All things. Through who? Christ. Who what? Tell you that when you live here, you're in a different realm than the average person. Young people, if y'all get here, you're different. You different. You got on J's, they got on J's. But your swag is different. Come on. How you carry yourself is different. You can go out there and score 3 touchdowns. And you ain't going to act a fool. You ain't going to be out there hunching the ground, doing stupid stuff. Everything he allows us to do. That's what a true Christian does. We give him all the glory. We give him all the honor and all the praise. You want me to leave your presence real quick? Start talking about how great you are. Start acting like you did it. You brought yourself here. One scripture and I'm done. Look at Mark 10 because we got to get this and this is it. Anybody can boast in themselves. But that ain't us, church. We boast in him. With God, I what? I can. With God, I what? I can. With God, I. With God. With God. With God. With God. Single mama with God, you can be the mama you need to be. Listen, not daddy because you're not male. But he will empower you to be the best mama you can be. And whatever your child or children need, God will put it or place it within your life. If we live in this realm of knowing with God I can, notice where it takes us to, and I'm done. Mark 10 and 27. This is what Jesus said. I believe it was on Paul's mind when he penned Philippians 4 and 13. Because his basic thing was, with God I can. Notice the realm we live in. Notice the realm we live in. But Jesus looked at them. Are y'all there? But Jesus looked at them. Mark 10 and 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible. Look at the realm we live in. Look at the realm. How can we live in this realm and be pessimistic? No way. No way. Some of you are not living here like you say you are, like you pretend you are. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible. What's the subject? What's the subject? What's the subject? Notice Jesus' word. But with God. But with God. For with God. For with God. That his word is again. All things. How many things?
All.
How many things?
All
things are what? Possible. That's never going to happen for her. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because God is with that girl. That family will never be able to do that. Yes, they will. Because God is with that family. That church has never accomplished that. Yes, that church will. Because God is with that church. With God.